So there we have it, the whole gospel from Rossetti's What Can I Give Him? Poor as I am. If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. But what I can, I give him, give my heart. To Isaac Watts, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Father, help us to hear your word, and in your word hear your call. And may we be the ones who indeed not only listen, but do your word. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our readings this morning speak of the disciples at the Transfiguration, challenged to listen to God, to listen to Jesus, God's Son. And the second reading is of Christians who look to follow Jesus, and they are being transformed from one degree of glory to another through the Holy Spirit. But I always feel it's a shame that when I'm given the services for 3 months, that the readings are always chosen. It's always the epistle and the gospel. And I want to introduce the third reading for today, this Sunday before Lent, the Sunday when we give ourselves to God's service and remember his service of the gift of his Son dying for us. And our third reading is from Exodus chapter 35, which speaks of God's Spirit equipping and transforming the work of two men in their craft. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord freewill offerings for all the work the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for working gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Aholiab, son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, and weavers. All of them skilled workers and designers." So in that reading, we find that all the Israelites, the men and women who gathered in worship, bring their offerings to God. And these offerings, as we go on to read, include their abilities for work and their design skills. They also have wisdom and teaching skills. But the important truth is that God will transform what we offer to him and use us and our gifts for his praise and glory. So let's start by looking at Bezalel and Aholiab. There are many people that the scriptures describe as filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit. But what marks out Bezalel and Aholiab is that this was shown not to soldiers, not to leaders, not to prophets, but through their engagement in what might be described as their ordinary, everyday, practical work. They were gifted craftsmen who not only had the ability to make great designs in metal and wood, but understood their trade, the materials that they work with, and how their role connected with the bigger picture of serving God. They knew how to mentor and to direct others in their work. And they could combine these human endeavors all for the glory of God. Their story establishes a defining principle that a job well done can be an expression of our relationship with God. And it establishes that experience of God that we have. While Bezalel and Aholiab might be singled out for their particular capabilities, every worker in this project is described as being enabled by God. Their collective work was to be a sign of the presence and purpose of God. They were, of course, engaged in what might be described as a religious project, a tabernacle fit for its purpose as a place of divine encounter and worship. But we can pause and recognize that it is their craft itself, not the outcome of their endeavors, that is described as God appointed and enabled by the outpouring of God's Spirit. And all of this to bring glory to God. Our work has required and requires different skills and functions. And we might find it hard to describe many of them in the same terms as the craft workers in this story from early Israel. We might find it difficult to describe what we do and our gifts as Spirit-empowered. Nevertheless, the reality remains that our faith is not merely expressed alongside our work, but through it. We might not have the opportunity to reflect the nature of God through some carefully crafted design piece, but the reality of our faith can be no less expressed through patience in the face of frustration, perseverance when embroiled in struggle, positivity in the midst of the mundane and the monotonous. Because God took the work of his people seriously, and if we are to be God's representatives in the life and activities of our own community, a key foundation for this is also to take our work seriously, whether that is on our own or whether it's the work that somebody else does. Being faithful and sincere, acting with integrity, in undertaking any task, it's a matter of seeking whatever resources we need to fulfill it and looking to God, who is the provider and the one who directs those resources. Now, this is something that I discussed with John Hudson's father, Tom. It was my privilege to chat to Tom over the last years of his life, because, of course, you know that he worked all his life, like his saviour, as a carpenter. The beautifully carved pieces of furniture and wall panels, as well as the more regular aspects of repair and handiwork in churches and other buildings, is a witness to his skill and his dedication to his trade. Now, we've looked at Bezalel, whose skills in metalwork, precious stones and wood were used in building the tabernacle of the Lord. His gifts were a demonstration of the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. And all our gifts come from God. And Tom's life was an example to us all of God at work. In fact, I suggested to Tom that his own gifts and skill demonstrated in the way he transformed pieces of wood was evidence of God at work in our world, because God is able to take our gifts and use them in transforming the world, transforming the life of God's people, transforming our communities. So the call here is to be diligent. Phil Jump senior regional Baptist minister for the northwest of England and North Wales. Now, he's a Baptist bishop, if you like. It's certainly the equivalent of a bishop. Well, he and I wrote a book together of prayers and reflections on work. Love, work. Reflections and prayers for a world at work. Whether it's paid or unpaid. And we offered 10 commandments, which are written on the front of the book. Be diligent. Be alert. Be forgiving. Be caring. Be honest. Be healthy. Be prayerful. Be generous. Be positive. Be reliable. If any of that is of interest to you, then I have copies of that book, which I can let you have. But it was when we reflected on the first of these, be diligent, that we looked at Bezalel and Aholiab. We suggested for everyone that we should remember that the main reason that we are at work, in our homes, in our gardens, at the office or the factory or in church, it's because we have a job to do. We should do it as well as we can. Anything else we seek to be and do as a Christian in life will be undermined if first and foremost we don't make this a priority to do the best we can. We may not be the best at our job. At times we might find it challenging and difficult. There may even be aspects of the work that we do or the places where we work that we vehemently dislike. But we should strive to have a reputation for always giving it our best shot, staying on task, for taking the job seriously, for being someone that others want to work with. This applies to church and to family life, as well as what we might do in other forms of work. Even more so, of course, for those of us who are retired, because it is there that our faith is seen, living out our faith in words and actions, in the community, in our homes, at church. The places where we work and live, the relationships we form there, the purposes of our job and life can all provide opportunities to live out our faith. But however else we seek to bear testimony to our faith in the living Christ, our authenticity will be judged first and foremost by the attitude we display to the tasks we have been appointed or the tasks we have chosen to fulfill. We are Christ's ambassadors, living representatives of the one who has entered into the reality of the world and become one of us. If we act as if others don't matter, the job and what we might fulfill together is of little or no importance, then we should not be surprised if our friends and neighbours and colleagues conclude that Christ has no interest in them, that the message of Christ has nothing to say in their situation, if we think that the job doesn't matter. Every day, most of us will engage in one way or another with the world of work. For many of us, it'll be because we have a job to do. But even if we're retired, unable to work, unwell, at school or college, or just having a day off, we are likely to engage in some way or other with someone else's working life and their place of work. If we catch a bus, if we visit the hospital, if we pop out to the shops, if we go to the gym, We're entering somebody else's working place. If we catch a bus, if we make a phone call, if we send an email, or even if we simply throw, or don't throw for that matter, our litter into a bin, we are impacting in someone else's working day. Work is an intrinsic part of the world in which we live, a world that as Christians we believe God made, a world that our scriptures describe as being loved by God, a world for which Jesus died, a world which the book of Psalms describes as belonging to God, a world in which God has called us to be agents of healing and reconciliation. So how does God perceive our world, home, church, community, or work? How does God want us to use our daily lives? How should our faith affect the way in which we behave as employees, as customers, as service users, as providers? These are questions we can't afford or avoid if we are serious about being whole life disciples. And in church, our work, be it bookkeeping, flower arranging, secretarial work, fixing oil pumps, even cleaning and clearing the church premises and grounds, leading Bible study groups, reading the scriptures, or teaching and preaching, all are gifts and abilities which God, through the Holy Spirit, will transform for his glory when we give them to him. For Christian believers, the call is to be faithful and diligent. Like any other, it is more than simply an act of human determination, but an expression of our relationship with the living God through the Holy Spirit. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, when receiving her Nobel Prize, told her BBC interviewer when he suggested that her work of alleviating poverty in India had not been successful, she said to him, "God did not call me to be successful, but faithful." And that's God's call to us, to be faithful and allow his Spirit to work through our lives. Amen.